welcome to another segment of Cosmic Connection. I'm your Cosmic Connection, Michael Alejean, your host for today's show, and all the shows that I do on Cosmic Connection. I try to help people understand your cosmic connection also with the cosmic realms, and oftentimes how that cosmic connection connects with events and phenomena happening on planet Earth, happening around planet Earth on all levels. And I think it's very important that, of course, we tune into and become aware of a lot of things that we may have traditionally viewed in a certain traditional or orthodox way may in fact have other explanations, that many of the, what we would call, natural phenomena, I know that word phenomena, is often used by people of a very left-brain scientific orientation. It can be a very spiritual phenomena, too. It can be used by those that are very metaphysical and very spiritual. But I've noted through the years that often, even those in the, quote, UFO community, who often use the word UFO phenomena, like it's some big mystery. Now, they would argue, from their point of view, perhaps, some of them may, that it is a mystery somehow. But I would argue that many of them play the game, play the act of pretending that it's a big mystery, and that there's plenty of explanations that have existed but have been covered up or suppressed if that, quote, phenomena is spiritually uplifting and empowering. That's very interesting, too, when you go back and you study many of the UFO reports, UFO cases is the term that's often used, some, you know, scientifically clinical analyzed kind of phenomena, and try to, like, dissect it and tear it apart and try to examine aspects of it, but done in a very left-brain, materialistic, third-dimensional kind of view, as versus just tuning in to the spiritual sense of what's going on, where you see all of it working simultaneously, see the whole enchilada, what is going on in other levels of reality. And so today I'm going to talk about that aspect, and the point I was just making, too, you know, if you study the different types and of extraterrestrial aliens, quote, that come to this planet, and it's my perception, the vast majority of most of them, in fact, are benevolent, that are very aligned with, we could say, the universal scientific spiritual laws of God that operate in the universe, the things that keep things in balance, that are in harmony, that are all going on at the same time, but that are, we could also say, that are user-friendly, the flaws of the universe, how the universe operates, the sense of how it operates in such a way cohesively that keeps everything in balance. So the human appearing, these beings that I've had contact with physically through the years and have channeled, communicated extensively with them, from them, and I do all this, also these very in-depth transformational channelings that I do. In fact, I invite you to go to my website, channelforthemasters.com, channelforthemasters.com, and you'll also see some of the images. Now, I understand that just the last little bit, I just had a chance to get some of the images up on there. If you check out the archives, a few of the shows I've already done individually, specifically on the different beings, like Ashtar and Monka, and in fact, this last week I did one on Voltra, the cosmic psychotherapist, who I refer to as the Dr. Phil of the cosmic realm, the cosmic psychotherapist who is available 24/7 to help you get a psychological, physiological, emotional insight about things going on in your life, a lot of the dysfunctional patterns that have happened on Earth. This last week I did one on Voltra and how he loves to help the light workers, star people, the volunteers in Earth embodiment who've come here on missions to get insight about some of the earthly things that you deal with, some of the psychological, emotional phenomena that so often is so prevalent, dysfunctional patterns. Because as he says, Earth has been the most dysfunctional planet in the entire universe. So we all need a lot of good cosmic psychotherapy sometimes to get us through and have deep insight and understand from a different point of view or spiritual point of view, so we're not so attached to it, so this too shall come past, we can let go of it, get on with our lives. You have to deal with it and process it and get it out of the way and have accountability and closure to certain things and go on with new cycles, new experiences. And so that's something that's very important, too, in the sense of being here on Earth to do that. So a lot of the beings that I will be talking on off and also based on a show that I did a few months ago, there's a three-part called Who's Who in the Cosmic Directory. That was the name of the three-part show that I did. And then every now and then I will do an in-depth show all particularly related to one of the beings. And so that's what I've done. But I just recently updated some of the images of Ashtar and Manka and now Voltra. And as we periodically, as we go along, I will be doing other shows. In fact, coming up around the weekend of the 4th of July, I'm going to be doing a show on Saint Germain, great ascended master, Valinimer, Saint Germain, different term, different names he's had. But Count Saint Germain in the 18th century, when he was alive on Earth, when he was, before he made his ascension, became an ascended master, came back a number of times. So that's an interesting show I'm going to be doing, since it's related to the 4th of July and the spiritual significance of this country and what our forefathers did and being inspired. Now, Saint Germain appeared to them, a very interesting event historically to happen. Some of Saint Germain's earlier lives, where he had very famous lives, and what he's been doing as the God of Freedom, in a sense, the title he was bestowed with, and his other half, Lady Portia, the Goddess of Justice and Opportunity, but in a sense of what he has done to, as representing the freedoms and the liberties that many people take for granted. So that's going to be a show I'm going to do on the weekend of the 4th. But today's show is fascinating because I'm going to ask you to I'm going to challenge you a little bit to kind of expand your horizons and to kind of give yourself a chance to kind of take a look at many of the phenomena and experiences that you've had, things that you have been taught traditionally from an orthodox point of view about reality, what some call the breaking out of the matrix, breaking out of the illusion and Maya that we often have ascribed to certain events and certain phenomena that have gone on, not just from a third-dimensional point, but from other points of view, too. But if you go to my website, channelforthemasters.com, I invite you to really check out also that list of star people characteristics. NASA, star people characteristics. There was actually research that Brad Steiger did with NASA engineers and scientists back in the 70s. As he was traveling around, and he came up with a list that, in fact, I believe defines, from a physical, physiological point of view, kind of as a visual reference point, those of us who are from more advanced worlds, that is our souls, have put aside an immortal physical light body, a higher density body. We are born in the normal way. If we come in at the time of birth as an incarnate, demon to our Earth Mother's womb, we are biologically born, or for a term what is called a walk-in, where there's a soul transfer, as Ruth Montgomery coined that term, walk-ins. We come in place of another soul that was dealing with some heavy karma, and they can't handle it, so we come in place of those. That's also been a great influx of volunteers. And, of course, the post-war two babies that came in during or after World War II took advantage of the post-war baby boom, where we came in the largest group ever to take Earth embodiment. And then more recently, the term indigos and crystal children of a larger group that's been coming in recent in the last couple decades. Last two or three decades, actually, that have taken Earth embodiment. And if we go back during the 1950s, many of the famous contactees channels talked about the wanderers. We wandered from one place to one life to another on missions. There's many different terms to define that. So I invite you to check it out. I'm sure you'll recognize that you have at least several to a third of that list. Many of us have more, depending on how much energy we've been able to ground when we take Earth embodiment into our physical body through the DNA RNA. So these transformational channelings that I do are specifically geared in helping to activate the DNA RNA. So when you get a session with me and Ashtar and the different masters channel through me, well, they're speaking through me, Ashtar particularly, because he is specifically in charge of Earth missions for the volunteers. When he's speaking through me, they have me on an energy beam from the Merkaba, the light ship. He's coming down. While he's speaking through me, they are putting on the tape these higher light encodements, these positive galactic subliminal frequencies, that are unique to each lightworker, not the same with each lightworker. Each lightworker has an entirely different set of encodements that's unique to that particular lightworker. It's not like any other. And it is put on the tape harmonically. So when you play the tape back, of course, it activates your DNA RNA, opens up the synaptic neuropathways, and you go through quite a transformation, quite an unveiling experience, quite a transformational experience. And I really enjoy empowering other lightworkers. And so it's very important when we had a chance to access other information that we avail ourselves of that, so that we can help us on a conscious level, not only to get in touch with our missions, to understand individually why we're here, as these sessions are very powerfully attuned to doing that, but also the tools and techniques and things that can help us. And it's also related to, of course, in our life, by having the ability to expand our mind, as related to today's show. And again, I'm going to challenge all of you to really expand your consciousness, kind of take a look at things from a new perspective, perhaps, maybe in a way you've never thought about it before. Also, at the end of the show, I always try to keep the last 10 or 15 minutes, last 15 minutes of the show, available for those who would like to call in if you have any questions related to anything I've discussed on the show or other shows I've done, because all our shows are archived. You get a chance, whether even if they're live or tape, we always, whenever we air the shows later, we always archive them for your listening convenience. Go back and listen to them. Laura Light does that in her show, Healthy Habits, Healthy Lifestyle, excuse me. And also Bill Alec does on his show, Progressive Technologies. You can go back and listen to all these other shows. And, of course, to me, this is all part of the activation, protection, and empowerment process of becoming plugged in to the things that will help us fulfill our missions. And so on my show, The Cosmic Connection, I enjoy presenting to you and sharing with you other cosmic points of view from other perspectives, both interdimensional and otherworldly. And that's what I would ask. And also when I do my session at the end of the show, when I open that up for anyone who wants to call in, I also do sometimes what I call little cosmic hors d'oeuvres. These are little channel messages for those who call in sometimes if there's a particular question you have, you want to get some clarity on something. Masters love to help you give a little insight, and I call these cosmic hors d'oeuvres because they're very short, like a minute or two at the most. Usually something very quickly, that something's insightful. But the in-depth 90-minute transformational channelings I often refer to as the entree, the eight-course meal, real transformational, really in-depth sense of what your mission is and how to accomplish it. So I try to provide different aspects to people. So today, as we go into kind of examining reality a little bit and some of the phenomena, that's what I started out earlier when I said that there's a lot of people like to use the word phenomena, like in the UFO community, UFO phenomena, like it's some big mystery. Maybe it is to some of them, but I think sometimes that's just an act, and I think a lot of them know, actually, the reality of extraterrestrials coming here and exactly what is going on often, but they don't want to go there, maybe because their materialistic view makes them feel more secure, makes them feel more in connection with the masses, I don't know. But I think there's an agenda sometimes to suppress and cover up some of the more spiritual orientation related to those contacts, like experiences I've had and many of the early contactees who had very uplifting, very positive, and what I call empowering, that's a very important word, empowering experience that also would inspire and uplift and empower others when they knew their options and their choices, that we don't have to have interactions with negative entities, in any sense. Many of those who speak of abductions and things, I believe that as other beings have the ability to intervene, and when we know our cosmic options and the fact that we don't have to have our cosmic civil rights violated, our cosmic civil liberties violated in any sense by renegade entities, then instead if we live our life in a way that uplifts and enhances the quality of life, it's user-friendly on this level of reality, and it would also make sense that it would be user-friendly in any level of reality. It may be interpreted differently by some, but there are many phenomena going on this physical level that one sometimes needs to stop and think about how they have been traditionally taught and kind of brainwashed, really, about, you know, accepting reality in a certain way. And I do think that there's a lot of what I call educated fools out there. They've memorized a lot of things. They have a lot of degrees behind their name, like PhD. I'm not even going to go there, what that stands for, you know, pile high and whatever. Anyway, the fact is a lot of people, because they think of themselves as some expert, some professional, like a lot of the UFO, they call themselves professional UFO investigators. Like it's, you know, like they're supposedly investigating, as they said, a mystery, but really it's their act to keep it all, like it's somehow a mystery to the masses out there. But if you tune in spiritually, psychically, spiritually, and really allow yourself and develop using the tools and techniques to do that, as Aurora Light talks about on her show, and that I often talk about also, the techniques and tools that can help you attune. First of all, it takes, you know, getting yourself in a space to be open to other levels and other realms, psychologically and physiologically, just to kind of let the ego, put the ego aside, the left brain, the analytical, scientific, dialectical brain that always wants to analyze things according to certain preconceived notions, and allow the right brain, allow the intuitive, or we can say it's the heart and the mind linked together. It's like the great inventor Nikola Tesla, and I know Bill Alec has referred to him once in a while, quite often, in fact, probably. different much of the inventions and the technologies that are going to become available here shortly for the entire planet. Abel talks about in his show that many of that was really related to Tesla and other great geniuses. These people that were the greatest geniuses of all weren't educated fools in a traditional sense. I mean, they may have had some background, a little training, but they allowed their right brain, they allowed their intuitive side to be utilized, and they developed it and they mastered it. Tesla was a real balanced right and left brain individual. In fact, he would talk about the visions he would have. He would build a device in his brain, basically, in his mind. Didn't have to build a lot of prototypes, usually, and it was all built, and really, and all he had to do was to, you know, might say, transfer his image into a physical reality. So he worked out the bug, so to speak, created it, manifested in his mind and in the thought level, and as a spiritual level of reality. It was already on the etheric, and then it merged down into the physical when he built it. It's already there on the higher dimensions. All he had to do is download it from the cosmic internet, so to speak, and it became reality by his brilliance, by his right and left brain balance. He was able to understand concepts that many, quote, earth scientists taught in the traditional, the original Newtonian sense of physics were not able to achieve, because he understood other dimensions, understood other levels of reality. So we have to really allow ourselves, that if we have been often programmed, and that's why a lot of times higher beings, when they would open up channels, for example, they tried to find people sometimes that weren't preconditioned by traditional understanding of reality, because that would often hinder and block and filter out other things that were often seemingly in conflict with traditional ways of looking at things. And for myself, having grown up in a very avant-garde environment, my parents, of course, were followers of and very attuned to the Edgar Cayce, the very famous psychic channel Edgar Cayce, known as the Sleeping Prophet, and my father being a professional stage hypnotist, had discovered the fact that Edgar Cayce, of course, was actually activated by hypnotists. When he had a little personal challenge. And he went to the psychiatrist, hypnotist, who had him lay down on the couch and helped him learn to develop the ability to go into the somnambulistic trance state, a deep trance state, where he learned to develop and induce that state into himself. That's how he became the Sleeping Prophet. And I know that as my father having worked with me, that's how I became a channel initially. Of course, we also know that in ancient times of the oracles, many of the great oracles had somebody like a hypnotist who worked with them, help them develop the ability to tune into their altered states of reality, and that's how they became the oracle. So that was utilized. Somebody else who had the ability to help that person get past their left analytical brain so they could let their right brain, let their intuitive side, let their higher spiritual nature, the higher self merge in with their conscious self, many different degrees of that. And the more we're able to allow our right and left brain to unite, and the more we're able to allow ourselves to see much of the phenomena, and I use that word, phenomena, of things that have been going on and are going on today, and look at it from a deeper perspective, a metaphysical perspective. Of course, even the word metaphysics is related to both material and spirituality. It relates to levels of reality that are all united together. There's an understanding that as we live in a multidimensional level of existence, I think one of the wonderful things in recent years, by the works of not only if we go back to the time of, you know, Tesla's work and then later on Albert Einstein and the unified field theory, one of his last greatest works, where he talked about levels of dimensions coinciding. We live in a multidimensional level of existence, and then of course we have Richard Hoagland did a lot of work which he presented before the United Nations and how he presented the fact that science in recent years has now identified and accepted that there's at least 26 dimensions coinciding, at least, minimum, and many others too. And that some of the more advanced, and of course in my understanding of reality, regarding many of the beings that I've had contact with throughout my life, beings I have interacted with prior to this lifetime, beings I remember being in the councils with, and some of the same beings that I knew that I would eventually, when I incarnated here, be channeling and communicating with. Old friends in high places, literally, and who try to open up other channels. As I've said many times, since we're all channeling a life force through our process of being alive, every moment we are picking up, whether we're aware of it or not, energies, vibrations, surrounds us, that go through us. We live on a multidimensional level of existence. So as we learn to fine-tune ourselves, we become aware not only of other levels of reality, but a lot of the explanations of events that have happened from a material point of view is not either not the whole story or actually a twisted view of reality, because it doesn't take into account other levels of reality. And I think a couple experiences I have, and one fact, one of those that has been going on for most of my life, and since the early 70s, an even greater number, is the phenomena that Earth meteorologists, this is just one example, Earth meteorologists study the atmosphere, who study the conditions around the planet, they refer to certain types of clouds, for example. Traditionally, they've been called lenticular clouds. Lenticular is a term referring to their saucer-shaped form these type of clouds take. Now, I have an old book that published many years ago that's out of print by a very, very famous, very clear channel known as Sister Thedra. And she was a very clear channel for Jesus Sananda, Sananda being Jesus Christ, the cosmic name. Eshua was another name. But she published a book called Celestial Rays, and it was filled with beautiful photographs. In fact, I even had some poster boards at one time that these beautiful images of these lenticular clouds. And I did this to show people that, in fact, how a lot of phenomena that we take for granted or take meteorologists or certain scientists, and very scientific types, explain these in a very materialistic way, that's what's going on. That's the only explanation. That it's because of the conditions in the atmosphere, because related to the cold and warm temperatures and inversions, and how much moisture is in the atmosphere, and all these various different materialistic explanations and views of reality, and that's, quote, the explanation that creates a lenticular cloud based on the terrain. And they make it sound like normally these kinds of clouds appear over often mountainous type areas primarily, again, depending on the condition of the atmosphere. But having seen and experienced these lenticular clouds, these saucer-shaped clouds, and all kinds of terrain, every kind of terrain imaginable, seeing them at different altitudes, seeing them at different heights above the Earth, and every kind of conditions you can imagine, I know that that's not true, that they're supposedly that they tend to appear more often. It may be to some degree that may influence it to a degree of exactly how and why they appear. But for the most part, I've seen them in every condition you can imagine. And I have seen them often around major mountains like Mount Shasta, as an example. In fact, this book, Celestial Rays in the Sun, was directly related to many photographs taken over Mount Shasta, because many of the biggest mountains, like the Shasta and the Grand Tetons and the Himalayas and so on, happen to be retreats where many of the cosmic spiritual masters often meet in council. And many of the great Merkaba light ships that appear in the etheric and higher dimension will often dock their ship, in a sense, over the mountain. And the cloud that surrounds them, the ionization, is actually the byproduct of dimensional shifting. It's actually the byproduct of the different dimensions, the different frequencies and levels of reality, the densities that surround the planet. When the craft is there, the light ship is manifesting its presence, it will cause kind of an ionization, the byproduct of that interaction at the physical level and the spiritual levels of reality. That's a more metaphysical explanation. And it's very important to understand that this concept, that a lot of natural phenomena that is going on, that has been going on for ages and centuries and eons of time, so to speak, and still going on to this moment, has actually other, or shall we say, and other explanations. Sometimes I think it's directly attributable, directly related to the events that are going on in the inner spheres, the inner dimensions, and that the physical or material explanations that, for example, meteorologists give to lenticular clouds or any other kind of scientific process of phenomena, though they explain it as that's what's going on in the atmosphere, going on in the material third dimensional level, as the explanation of that manifestation. I think a lot of things are actually the byproduct, and this is their way of trying to explain metaphysical phenomena that happens to overlap into the physical level, three-dimensional level of existence. Lenticular clouds is a good case in point about that. And so when you look up, and I invite you to do this, and you see these lenticular clouds, and so often, it's interesting, you can often see other clouds in the sky at the same time, while the lenticular clouds are manifesting, and while the other clouds may actually be stationary, or they may be moving, and the lenticular clouds nearby are operating opposite of what the other clouds are doing. Now, that's an interesting phenomenon, to have two different types of atmospheric conditions operating in the same area of space, basically, which, of course, the meteorologists would try to deny that that's possible, or they might give some other explanation about it, why that's possible, two different kinds of clouds would be operating and manifesting at the same time, very close together, and showing an entirely different scientific characteristic. I guess was the way you describe it. And which kind of contradicts sometimes some of the phenomena that the way they explain it or describe how it's manifested, why it's occurring at the time. And this is something, an experience I had once, in fact, another phenomena called sun dog. These are actual, can be a refraction effects related to planes sometimes flying in the atmosphere or flying through clouds. And I experienced this one time. And the refraction or the reflection of the light off the plane was creating kind of a halo effect. And this occurred a number of years ago. I was flying, I forget which airline it was. I was on my way to go to a city where I was going to do an event. And what's interesting about this experience was it showed me how what would be called a natural phenomena, as scientists or meteorologists would like to explain things, and how this phenomena suddenly operated differently or contradicted itself, so to speak. Because when I was flying along in this plane, I was looking out the window, and this actually went on for quite a few minutes. And the plane, while it banked, while it was kind of like maneuver, totally equidistant and parallel. The reflection or refraction of the halo effect off the clouds, as we were going constantly through clouds in this one area because of the altitude where the plane was, for quite a long time, 20 minutes, half an hour, I forget how long this was, but it went on for quite some time. And I was guided, and I was kind of overshadowed. And sometimes I find this, the higher forces will overshadow me and have me do things that I, because I've always asked them upstairs, as I refer to our friends upstairs, in situations in life where if I need to know something, unbeknownst to me, something really important, for example, this is all part of the higher guidance and inner guidance that we have access to as light workers, as volunteers in Earth embodiment. We need to remind ourselves to do this as far as guidance and help sometimes, that we always have to, and I like to, you know, make it really clear. I like to communicate with the beings, and I've always said to them, because I think it's important, I think all of us as volunteers in Earth who've come on missions here, automatically, there was protection granted to us just by the fact that we have volunteered to put our higher light bodies and our higher density bodies, our higher Elohim powers, and come into human embodiment on missions and put our powers and abilities aside so that we see through human eyes, hear through human ears, that there was protection granted to us by the fact that we came here. That was automatically given to us. But I think we can extend that protection. I think we can enhance that protection by the way we live our life. If we live our life in such a way that is in harmony to the universal laws, that also is connected with these phenomena that I'm talking about, then we have the law of grace given to us. We flow easily, effortlessly, and joyously, and the more we get into it, whatever changes we have to make in our life, move things around, release situations going on, whatever it is, to allow the law of grace to come in, then we need to do that. If there's something that's blocking something or something that's not allowing something, then we have to rearrange and reexamine what we can do to expedite or speed something up sometimes as necessary because of situations, other things going on in life that we have to kind of take stock and examine those things so that we don't do things that will block the flow and so that we don't do things that block us being able to observe what I'm talking about today's show. Because a lot of times people get things around them and complicate their lives, and then they don't notice the little details. They don't notice a lot of things that that they gloss over because they're so caught up in so much stress in their life with so much going on that they just don't, again, what somebody else who's less stressful would be able to notice, be able to observe a very interesting insight that also accounts for a lot of other events going on, other phenomena going as well. So we have to take moments where we have time to sit back, whether it be meditating a little bit and scrutinizing what's happening, and then we see the beauty. We see the incredible condition, the panorama of events and phenomena going on that's going on all the time. I know that in animals and nature and what we call the nature spirits, all of the other areas of the kingdoms of life, are very much aware of these things. They take them for granted in a sense. They flow in and out. But sometimes we just don't, when we let our left brain operate, then we tend to ignore or explain away skeptically, cynically, that there's no magic there. There's no miracles going on. But if we open up our hearts and our minds and we merge with that phenomena to understand it in a more spiritual sense, and we get rid of all the preconceived notions and corruption of and programmings that brainwashing that society on Earth physiologically has tended to program most people, Examples are children that, you know, they start out very attuned. They talk about their imaginary friends, which are not imaginary at all. The fact is that children are born usually with a great awareness, and then parents who are not metaphysically attuned will kind of program them out of it to, you know, to shape-shift them into the way that, quote, society thinks they're supposed to operate. So most people, as they grow older, lose that connection. So I think it is the old saying biblically, unless one be as a small child, of course, we're not going to be able to put ourselves in that space to be receptive. So it takes us being a little vulnerable, a little innocence, a sense. And I don't think we have to be, in order to have wisdom, we have to be corrupted to be have wisdom, to be worldly wise. I don't think we have to corrupt ourselves and get involved in so many things that we lose sight of that innocence or that connection that allows us to be able to perceive this. We just have to kind of take a few steps back and kind of reexamine our life so that we keep the door open. Using our discernment, kind of like the threefold flame, the blu-ray, divine will, peace, and power, the gold of divine discernment, sunsets, and wisdom, and the pink ray, divine love, mercy, and compassion. And of course, I always like to bring the silver into it too, which enhances the quality of these colors. It's our ability to keep that balanced. So when we're dealing with phenomena that's going on, the ability to perceive what I'm talking about and being open and receptive to those moments of revelation, for example, by allowing our right and left brain to be able to look at things in a new way and throw off the kinds of programming that would limit us and block us from all that beauty and that joy and that juice that's there, so to speak. So when I was on this in this plane, being able to kind of put myself in a space from other distractions and kind of take a look at it and being open, and also being open to higher guidance and protection. And part of that is being open to moments when suddenly we get an inspiration to do something that's contradictory to what we originally planned to do, not to be so anal retentive or rigid that we're not able to break from that and examine things in a new way, along as that is in line with the situation that we know we're guided to do. And there are many things we have to take into account. But nevertheless, having asked the higher forces, if ever there's something coming up in my life at any time, for example, that I need to be aware of, or that would be great for me to know, not only for myself, but maybe I can pass it on to others, help all the other light workers as we fulfill our missions individually and collectively. For example, in cases where I'm planning to do something, that I'm starting out on a trip or something, and maybe there's some disaster unaware of that could occur. So I always ask them, I see, if unbeknownst to me there's a situation, then make sure that I'm not going to go on that trip right that time. That maybe I'll alter it by a day or two, rearrange it in such a way that I can still do it, but do it in such a way that it's, again, more user-friendly. So it's not going to be a negative or disaster to what I want to do, what I want to accomplish. Because we used to rearrange it without really throwing it off that much and still get done what we need to do. So I always make myself available to the higher forces, and I always thank them for the guidance and the help they've given to me. And so in this sense, at the same time, so there I was on the plane, being in that kind of modality, always trying to be open, always trying to allow myself to receive whatever guidance. Sometimes it can be kind of subtle. Sometimes the subtleties are things we have glossed over when we don't remind ourselves to be open. So in this sense, I began to feel the presence of the higher beings. And there came a point where they were communicating with me. And it was interesting because as I watched this halo effect in the clouds and the way that every time the slightest little move the plane was making, this halo effect was always making the same move. So, you know, someone very left-brain, very scientifically oriented would just assume that this, of course, is just a normal refraction, reflection of quality halo kind of effect that is occurring in the cloud because of the way the light was bouncing off of the plane and all the conditions in the atmosphere that created that image. And it continued on for many, many minutes, 20 minutes, 15, 20 minutes, I don't know exactly how long it was. But then there came a moment when the plane banked, when the pilot, of course, made the plane move to related to the air conditions, the conditions of the atmosphere, the turbulence that he was going through. And all of a sudden, this halo effect operated on its own. It altered its pattern and stayed balanced where it was. In other words, it didn't move with the planes that had been occurring earlier up until that moment. And it was interesting how the beings had me kind of focus on this because I had one times in the past seen the same phenomena once in a while when I was flying in a plane, but now they were having me examine it and look at it with a sense from a different point of view. And when the plane banked at that moment, and having assumed, of course, that it was going to continue in the same way, it would move with the plane's maneuver, totally and equally, every single movement, and it didn't do that. And as I began to feel the presence of the masters, and I heard them say to me, it was very interesting, they said, "We just did that." That was the words they used. And I kind of did a double check. I said, "What?" And they telepathically said, they said to me, "Now that was a natural phenomena that you were observing and experiencing for quite some time. And what you saw, this natural phenomena," they love to use that word to kind of make fun of it because of, as I said earlier in the show, how often scientists or UFO investigators talk about the phenomena involved, like it's some big mystery or it's some, almost always from a left-brain point of view, and they take away the magic, they take away the beauty, they take away the spirituality, the consciousness sense of that phenomena, quote-unquote, while it was going on. And here was an example of a phenomena that would traditionally have been described, that because of the way the angle of the plane, the way that the sun was reflecting off the plane, and all of the various things, explained in a very left-brain, analytical, scientific way, and that's what, quote, the explanation would be based on. Rather than taking into account that all these natural phenomena that have been observed for millions of years, that go on in a natural process way, might be able to be changed, might in fact react in a different kind of way if other intelligences, other forces, other beings that are interacting with the third dimension, interacting with other dimensions, and because it's been going on for so many ages of time, we just assume that's always going to be the byproduct, that's always the way that the phenomena is going to behave. But when the phenomena that is traditionally described and viewed and analyzed and interpreted, it doesn't behave in the traditional way, scientists just look, you know, they want to either ignore it, suppress it, or if their intelligence, because true intelligence is the ability to open up and examine something from an entirely different viewpoint, beyond the material view of things, real intelligence is based upon examining other levels of reality as well, rather than being an educated fool. Depending how open one would be, one would have to start over and re-examine and come up with other explanations about that, quote, natural phenomenon. This was a good example. Event happening on the plane right there. And, of course, a few moments later, where there had been no lenticular clouds, three of these clouds suddenly were there, like they manifested within a matter of a few seconds almost. I mean, they materialized very, very quickly. Now, I would love to have asked a meteorologist, the way that these clouds might be normally explained, is that possible for a lenticular cloud to appear that fast, where there had been no clouds in that part of the sky, let alone a lenticular cloud? There were three of them, and I could feel their presence really, really strong. And they explained to me, they said, as we just said, we did that to show to you, to demonstrate to you how natural phenomena is the byproduct, actually, usually, of other phenomena going on in other dimensions, other life streams, other frequencies, because it comes into the third dimension, because it overlaps and there's an interaction going on. There's an assumption that that phenomena will always operate in the same way, same pattern, but because we altered that phenomena for you, to show you, as just one little tiny example, too often what people assume, like the assumptions, we all have a nose, so to speak, that we all have an opinion. And there's millions of opinions out there, and we all have a right to our opinion. But as I always like to say, the more we can get through just opinions, theories, and concepts, and even beyond just believing in something down to knowing it and then ultimately experiencing. In fact, I've often said there is the three different levels of reality. There is the experiential level. There's a level of knowing it, where you initially experience it, but you just know. You don't know why you know, but you know, kind of like know thyself. And then there's a belief. Belief is the more of a vague level, because one can believe very strongly, yes, based on their experiences, but even their belief in it may be interpreting it slightly wrong. I know a lot of religious people said they've experienced this, you know, being born again kind of experience, but I think being cosmically reborn again is different than the kind of religious kind of thing that can be very limited and very narrow, based on their emotional, psychological, emotional level that they're operating out of. How self-realized are we? How much have we opened ourselves up to be open to other levels of reality and interface that into our life without our preconceived notions filtering it, stopping the beauty and the magical process as it unfolds? And I think that's what a lot of people have hindered themselves, limited themselves by their inability to open up, like be as a small child, not to give up our discernment, but be able to, you know, interface it and be totally comfortable with the fact that some so-called natural phenomena can adjust and rechange themselves as many times as they want because of the way the energies, for example, right now, are coming onto the planet, energies that have never been here before, ever in the universe. That's what the masters say. And so understanding lenticular clouds as an example as a real phenomena, but you also based on the fact that there's ships in the etheric or in the physical, what ionized cloud around it while they're doing certain spiritual work. And this was very prevalent from the early 70s on. In fact, there was a being named Soltec, an astrophysicist, who explained that in the early 70s, from 1969 on, they began to seed certain inert elements like xenine gas, certain things that our bodies were deficient on, that once we were began to utilize these other elements, we would actually awaken, our synaptic centers would open up, we would experience expansion of consciousness. And xenine gas was one of those things, spelled X-E-N-O-N, that existed on other worlds, existed inside the planet and other realms, but was somehow became deficient on this planet over eons of time. And it used to exist in earlier times of human history and became deficient because of other various negative things that have happened. So they had a plan from the early 70s on through ionization of clouds around the ships. Well, lenticular clouds, vast numbers began to form, and they would seed out these very positive, beneficial life support things. And now they're doing a lot of work right now to clear out the chemtrails and all this crud that the governments have been putting up in the atmosphere. And also when I do a reading, I understand a lot of the encodements that they place on the tape for the different light workers also are designed to enhance the immunity, the immune system of each light worker. Of course, they've also reminded me in the old principle, God helps us to help themselves. It's what we do every day to enhance that which they give to us that makes it an unbeatable combination. We have to take personal responsibility. It's good to have a cosmic backup team. Now, there's a caller on the line right now, Danny, calling from L.A. You have a question, yeah. Danny? Comment?
Well, yeah, it wasn't really much of a question. It wasn't really much of a question. It's more just a comment to you. I recently just stumbled on your link, channel for the masters.
Right.
And it just touched me in a way, like it made so much sense. I think you put it, the way you put everything or channel everything is just beautiful. And it just makes so much sense. So, and I just wanted to, you know, let you know that. You know,
well, I appreciate you expressing your views because I find that souls like yourself and, you know, a lot of those of us they call in the metaphysical tradition old souls, meaning it's not chronological.
Right.
As I always say, it's not how many times we've been around the sun that defines our age. It's our physiological age. So an old soul is somebody who's been, or as Ashtar would say, you've been around the intergalactic block quite a few times. And so the information and the energy that I'm tapped into as a cosmic telephone line, as a kind of a cosmic circuit, as your cosmic connection, as I call this show, is, I believe, very strongly kind of connected in a collective way to all of those of us, like yourself, who have come on missions here for various different unique missions, part of a collective mission, to uplift humanity and help Mother Earth and to help her experience her ascension. And the shift of the ages of us liberating this planet and bringing in the golden age and bringing in those, you know, processes of life that we are in harmony to as we naturally are in the higher, more advanced world. And now, as we bring and ground this energy on Earth, I've always felt of myself as helping to prepare humanity for very soon what's going to be happening here when our friends upstairs make a more mass appearance over the planet to officially welcome this planet into being a member of the Intergalactic Confederation of Worlds. So I think what I've always been plugged into and which other star people feel a connection with is that spiritual, energetic source that affects all phenomena and all levels of life. And I feel very, you know, I've always felt great privileged to have been in, you know, and I always say I always give God and the hierarchy most of the credit. I just try to keep myself to be as, the only credit I can take is try to be as clear as I can for them to utilize me and also as I utilize others for a unique purpose. Was there any question you had, Danny?
I don't know. I just wanted to convey how comforting it is. I guess. You know, to read this material. You know, one could talk about, you know, an angelic through a religious perspective, and you know, find comfort that way. But I like to, you know, find comfort within all the spectrums. And I think the spectrum that you know that you present is very comforting on the level.
Well, I appreciate that, and you know,
upstairs.
I'm getting a little message for you. I call these cosmic hors d'oeuvres, as I said, not to be confused with the entree, which is the 90-minute transformation session where they go in depth. But the masters were saying that, you know, and I think this is going to happen. I think that there's kind of a collective, different, unique forms of this that's going to happen very soon for a lot of us in different ways, which is what the readings are all related to. But I think over this next, you know, coming up toward 2009, a lot of the ideas and things that you are kind of tapping back into on a conscious level, kind of like the masters call it, like a cosmic jigsaw puzzle. Of course, they always say, unlike an Earth jigsaw puzzle, where it starts with a few hundred, ends up with a few hundred, they always like to say it starts with a few hundred, ends up with a few hundred thousand pieces, because, you know, it has the ability to expand and replicate in different kinds of unique ways. But that's what learning is all about. But I feel that you are going to be dealing, and this is not a negative thing, this is a wonderful thing. Sometimes when we write into our life script challenges that we have to face, they kind of like, you know, it's, we may say, oh, I don't need to go through that, you know, challenge. I got it all. But from a human psychological point of view, being honest with ourselves, we know that sometimes God's incentive system is like the, I call myself the cosmic kick in the pants sometimes for people, that we put challenges before us in the spiritual boot camps we go through as a way to temper us and get us ready for some really wonderful experiences that we wouldn't have had we taken the easier way. And so I see a challenge coming up, probably 2009 at some point, could be this year, but possibly 2009, the challenge being, will you share some of the information that, like, correlate it and bring it together in certain situations that some people may need, or will you take the backseat role of, you know, taking the easier way, or will you rise to the occasion?
Right.
And, you know, anything we do, they don't judge us in a harsh way. They say they never judge us for our human mistakes and human frailties, as we learn from those. It's the intent and the motive of what we are involved in. Why are we involved in it? What are we doing it for? And so this challenge seems to be based on, will you really give yourself the credit, pat yourself on the back, and rise to the occasion and utilize the information and share it in such a way that will empower a situation and people so that they can do the things they're supposed to do. So it's kind of like a sensuation of, of rising to the occasion, embracing your own power that you have and abilities you have, the gifts of the Spirit, and utilizing it in some of the things you came back in this final lifetime to do. And not to say, oh, you're not worthy for that. Because we sometimes put ourselves down, which is the opposite of too much ego, by thinking somehow, oh, somebody else can do it, or we're not prepared and ready for that. But, you know, God pulls our ticket, our ticket's punched, and volunteers us, so to speak. We have to go for it. And that we are capable of doing it. If we can think of it, we can do it. As long as our hearts are pure, then, as I feel, then you're capable of doing those things. That no one else but you can do in the unique way that which you can do it. So remember that as things come up, wonderful, fabulous things in your life, because you've got a lot of great things ahead of you. And, you know, unlike most of the volunteers I meet, I think we're all going to have contact physically at one point here. You know, some R&R coming up here shortly. So, but the things we have to do on Earth that we have to get finished, like water under the bridge, we don't want to put things off or procrastinate. Right. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
And if there's something you can't do and you have to get some other data or information, that's one thing. But there are certain things in the house and order process, don't procrastinate or put it off, so that you hold off or cause the schedule to be screwed up when you can take care of it, and depending on what your priorities are in life. That's a very important thing. What your priorities are is going to determine how much you keep yourself in the flow so you don't hold up other people's processes and things. And that is a message all of us need to take a look at. And when we, you know, sometimes we, for example, we're involved in projects, and sometimes we're not aware that there's a schedule going on that we have not allowed ourselves to be a part of. And when it comes up to certain deadlines and things, we don't want to screw up the works by saying we want to re-change and alter things if sometimes the time is such that it's the time and energy is really got to a point that's critical the information get out around the world, for example. That's another form of it, too. But there's various forms of that, and I think that if you take a moment and stock in your life, and you redefine what your priorities are, you can kind of rearrange things around. And yes, there's something we can always perfect. We can always spend millions of years on something, but there's also times when we have to push forward and let things flow, because we can always perfect it and keep on changing it around and around and around. But there's also a sense of the time frame is such that we have to let the collective sense of what the planet needs to know or what the planet needs to tap into, that's also a very important priority we have to consider. Interface with everything else. So I want to bless you, Danny, and check out my website if you feel guided to get a more in-depth transformational session, which really transformational, contact me. I would love to you have to give the masters a chance to give you that more powerful and in-depth, you know, impact. And
Right. Okay.
So, God bless you, and
be sure to
have a wonderful life.
Yes, thank you. You too.
Uh-huh. Bye.
Thank you. Take care, Michael. Bye.
Well, there's a lot going on Earth right now, and I think as I was sharing, you know, during today's show, getting ourselves in that position so we can be able to perceive, be able to open up for all the wonderful things that are, you know, that are waiting in the wings, so to speak, to come into our life. I've known for many years, and there are some things in my own life, for example, that I know that once things happen, incredible blessings and are bountiful are going to be there for us. So there are some things we all are been getting ready for, goals and things that not only are important for us individually, but impact the planet on a collective level. And that's being able to see the priority, the time frames, and everything else that need to flow cohesively, easily, effortlessly, and joyously, and let it accomplish its purpose. And the ability to look at phenomena and recognize that right now, for example, when I mentioned the lenticular clouds, you know, how many millions of ships surround this planet in guardian action, these Merkaba light ships that the Federation, Intergalactic Confederation, Universal Federation of Worlds, are part of. And as I've shared in time shows in the past, you know, images of huge numbers of these ships, shuttle photographed them, videotaped them, I mean, all the events, the fact that there's millions of beings around this planet. And when we see these lenticular clouds, that's a confirmation of their presence. And they can be there even without that in the etheric. And they're getting closer and closer to the Earth. There's vast, more millions of ships coming around this planet, guarding action, because they're gearing up and getting ready. And they really want humanity to know on a collective level what their plans are. And that's where my book, of course, I'm about to publish here shortly, is all about time frame here. Time is getting short, so it's extremely important that people hear the cosmic good news, as I like to refer to it, and know a little more about it. So because that gives them inspiration to get their missions fulfilled, things they need to get done in their life out of the way, so they can get ready and open for these beautiful things coming up for us. So we're coming up here to the end of the hour again. It's amazing how fast the hour sometimes goes by. So what I've asked today and kind of threw it out as a challenge to all of you, allow yourself to be open now as you examine, look around at some of the phenomena, the traditional ways that you've looked at things, or the traditional ways that you've operated in your life even. And for what, some beautiful doors that want to open, and we want to make sure things aren't there that are blocking it or keeping those doors from opening. So as it is with all phenomena, how we all veil ourselves, how we communicate with this. So I want to bless you all, and till next week, keep your eyes on the skies.
As humankind continues a spiritual progression, this remarkable breakthrough establishes inner truth. Having faith, a strong well-being, and self-fulfillment indicates abundant living. Are you ready to overcome obstacles and strive towards powerful changes? Listen to Intuitive Guidance with Dana Marie, Saturday afternoon at 3 Eastern, noon Pacific, on AchieveRadio.com.
Hello everyone, this is Bill Alec, and I'd like to say a few words today about the 2008 Extraordinary Technology Conference, held this year in Albuquerque, New Mexico, July 31st through August 3rd, hosted by Tesla Tech. Extraordinary topics featured Tesla technology, magnetic motors, zero-point energy, energy-saving devices, cosmic radiant energy, Brown's gas, low temperature plasma, GEET technology, electrogravitation, electromedicine, magnetic healing. Register online by contacting either Steve Ellswick or Terry Brady at teslatech.info. That's teslatech.info.